Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show at eradiosports.com and our affiliates. Before we get underway, I have to make a confession. I'm playing a little bit hurt under the weather, but regardless, here we go because it is the start of the 2013 NBA playoffs. They're about to get underway this weekend. There are so many storylines. Right at the top, everyone's asking the question, who will be able to stop LeBron James and the reigning world champions, the Miami Heat? I mean, perhaps this could be the year for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to get into that a little bit later in our program because only time will tell, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But in the meantime, we are thrilled to welcome into our show a gentleman who knows exactly what it takes to win a world championship and to sustain a level of consistency. That's because for two decades, legendary trainer Tim Grover has taken some of the greats from Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, and dozens others and made them the very best. He has just released a brand new book. It is titled Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. I am so excited, Tim, to have you on the program. When your publicist contacted me, I circled the calendar, and it's an interview that I've been looking so forward to. Thank you for joining us this weekend.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Well, first of all, let's break down for all of our listeners. I mentioned, of course, in the open, you have had the opportunity, you're a longtime NBA trainer, to work with some of the best ball players that have ever been a part of the game, the most intense competitors. But for me, after reading the book, I thought, you know, this is not a book that's just geared for hoop fans. I think the philosophies that you share can help anyone be successful at their craft, whether it's sports, business, or even being a parent.
No, that's the intention of the book. I mean, when people, I don't want people to think this is a book that it's going to teach you how to play basketball like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and these individuals. I tell people there's NBA players that are not going to be able to play ball like those guys. But this is a way to understand the philosophy of how they think and what we've taught them from the neck up, and to take that into everything that they do to try to achieve success and that ultimate goal. Because the same adversities that you have in sports, and you being a former NCAA player yourself, you understand you have the ups and the downs that happen in sports, that happen in life, and it's how you handle them. It's going to pretty much determine whether you're going to continue to move forward or you're going to be stuck in that hole for a very, very long time. And that's the idea. It's about relentless. It's about action and continuing to move, to try to strive to be the best at whatever you want it to be, whether it's in sports, business, parenting, bus driver, no matter what it is.
Well, Tim, it's true because everything in this book is really about raising your standard of excellence. I have to ask you, what was the inspiration behind this book? I mean, were some of your clients behind the scenes were like, Tim, you need to write a book when they're spotting, or you're spotting them lifting weights?
You know what? It's everybody always asks about the physical component. You know, how can I jump higher? How can I do this? How can I do that? And you know, from a genetic standpoint, each individual is limited in their athletic ability and what they can do. But the mind is limitless, and what I'm trying to convey to these individuals that these guys are unstoppable. They're above great. They've reached a level of unstoppable, and it's not the physical characteristic, it's the mental characteristics, and this is how these individuals think, and this is what they've done from the neck up to reach such a high level of success in an area that very, very few people get a chance to see and to a chance to achieve.
So, Tim, what are the keys? I mean, how do you achieve peak performance on a consistent basis? I mean, mentally, what is your approach or what does it need to be?
Well, you know what? We have a list in the book called The Relentless 13, and we ask individuals to read those and tell us which ones are those characteristics that you have or you don't have. And from there, we kind of place you in three different categories. We place you in a category called a cooler, a closer, or a cleaner. And a cleaner is the ultimate competitive individual in no matter what they're trying to do, where they really cannot shut it off. No matter what they're doing, they're always thinking about that that goal or that prize that's available, that's obtainable to them. Is it a healthy lifestyle? No. Is it the way these individuals think it is what they think, and they think about it so much, and their body gets so finely tuned to it that in order to reach the cleaner level, you get to the process where you don't have to think about it anymore because it becomes a part of you. A closer is an individual where everyone talks about in sports, they consider that to be the highest. If you're called a closer, you're like the elite of the elites. We wanted to take it even a level farther by calling, hey, there's another level above that called a cleaner. But a closer is a person that's extremely good at what they do. I mean, they could even be great at what they do, but they have to be put in the situation in order to succeed. And if too many variables are thrown at them, you know, then they have a tendency not to get the end result. A cleaner will adjust no matter what the situation is and will usually get that end result. And a cooler is a person who, you know, we know them all the time that are just happy with the way things are. You give them a project to do, they're going to give you the desired results. They're not going to give you anything below it. They're not going to give you anything exceptional. They're going to do the job. But the key is in business, in life, in sports, you're going to have all three personalities, and it's the person's job to put those individuals in the right situation as a team or as an individual to succeed at whatever they're trying to do and whatever the ultimate goal is for the company, the school, the restaurant, whatever it may be.
You are listening to the voice of Tim Grover, longtime NBA trainer, has just released a brand new book. I want to encourage you guys to go ahead and get a copy of it. It is titled Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. Let me pause and extend to you, Tim. Tell all of the listeners where they can go and get a copy.
The book is available on Amazon.com. It's available on iBooks. It's available at just about everywhere you can go. It was released about a week ago, so definitely pick it up. It's a great read.
Okay, so Tim, you break down the personality types as you were just talking about cleaners, closers, and coolers. And it's interesting because you do categorize. You talk about Michael Jordan. He was a cleaner. Kobe, of course, is a cleaner. And what about LeBron James?
Well, with LeBron, this is what I've been trying to convey about LeBron. LeBron is having an unbelievable basketball year. He's going to win his fourth MVP, and rightfully so. All right, but a cleaner is an individual that does it at all the different levels. Now, LeBron won the championship last year, and he's been playing in a zone that I've only seen one other person play throughout a whole season, and that's Michael. But when the playoffs come, it's a completely different intensity. It's a completely different mindset. If he carries the team the way he's been carrying them during the regular season, through the finals, through the championship, I will classify him as a cleaner. But just doing it one time last year, it's not enough. A cleaner does it over and over and over again. They produce that desired result under all circumstances, under all pressures. They don't run from it. They thrive from it. So if he gets that end result, he will be moved into that next level.
Tim, what I hear you saying is that a cleaner, it's almost like they have an obsessive behavior. I mean, that they are the most intense, the driven competitors imaginable, but they want to do it year in and year out and continue to repeat, right?
Yes, that's a great trait of a cleaner, how you just described them. The reward is so short. They get to the goal, and I use Michael as an example of this. Every time Michael won a championship, if you watch closely, he always had the fingers up for the next ring. When he won his first in the celebration, he was putting up number two. When he won number two, he was putting up number three. And that's how these guys think. Once they get to that goal or that prize, the reward is... it's over. They're already thinking about what's next. And that's the difference between a closer and a cleaner.
Well, you know, it's interesting because last year I heard at a speaking engagement, legendary Major League Baseball player who works in the front office for the Texas Rangers, Jim Sundberg, and he talked about, you know, when they are scouting talent, what really sets some of the players apart and that can endure, you know, such a tough schedule are players that have, it's almost like a disorder, he said, a compulsive behavior where they're so obsessed, as we were just talking about, with their sport, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to be necessary. They have that singular focus.
Yes, and you know what? That's why I said it's not always a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
what it has to be is you have to control that situation. You can't let the situation control you. When the situation starts to control you, that's when you start looking for stuff outside the boundaries, outside the limitations of what your company or what the sport is allowing you to do. Now the situation is starting to control you, but you have to control the situation. If you can control that situation, if you can control that compulsive behavior, then you can reach this level. But if that behavior starts to control you, that's when situations start to go bad.
We're going one-on-one with Tim Grover, longtime NBA trainer, having a compelling conversation, talking about his brand new book, Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. It is an amazing read. And I want to talk to you about one of your clients, of course, is Kobe Bryant, and just suffered this devastating injury, finishes his season, a torn Achilles tendon. I know that you have spent, you know, countless hours with Kobe refining his game. He's a 17-year veteran in the league. My first question to you is, what was going through your mind when you saw him go down in that game?
You know what? Just like everything else, you saw an individual that's worked so hard to get there and constantly continues to work, and you never want to see anything happen to a person like that. But as soon as he went down, I said, okay, I think it's an Achilles. Then when I talked to him and he said he felt like he was kicked, and then I immediately knew it was an Achilles. And the process already started with, like, okay, now let's figure out how to get him back. We need to get him back as quickly as possible within the suitable timetable to heal, and just start putting the plan together of, hey, this is not the end, okay? This is just another bump in the road, and we need to keep your focus on the prize. We're going to get you back physically, but what you have to endure is, can you get to the point where mentally you're no longer thinking about this injury, that you can move and do whatever you need to do and stay within the parameters that we're going to set for you? Because we know Kobe, that he's always so driven that he wants to do more and more and more, so his mental battle is going to be actually to slow him down.
You know, if you're a fan of the game, it was tough to watch. I mean, he had a strong reaction to his injury. You could see the level of frustration, the teary interview. I'm certain that you've, of course, spoken with him. I mean, is he optimistic that he can return to 100% and to full capacity, Tim?
Oh, yes. No question about it. I mean, I think if people watched the injury, and if you go rewatch it, I mean, most people after that, they usually get carried off the court. This guy got up, shot his two free throws, walked his way back into the locker room and faced the media. He didn't, you know, automatically just say, let me hide from this situation. You know, that's what a cleaner does. He faces his situation, he faces his fears, and he takes that fear and harnesses and uses as fuel for positive energy. And so I knew once that happened, I was like, listen, the battle has already begun, and he's already winning.
Okay, you provided some insight on Kobe. We certainly wish him all the best and that he'll get back to 100%. But tell us a little bit about, as far as, Tim, your relationship with Michael Jordan. 15 years together. I want to hear about what you learned from him.
Oh, I learned the game of basketball inside and out from that individual, and how to just be prepared for anything that's thrown your way. I mean, in 15 years with him, being with an athlete that just, you know, transcended generations, and just to watch the attention he used to get on the court, off the court, just to handle yourself as a professional, but always understanding, hey, listen, be yourself, and this is who I am, this is how I play the game, and listen, no matter, you're always going to be in pressure situations, and pressure is a good thing. Don't run from it. If you're put into a pressure situation, okay, if someone's asked you to be in a pressure situation, they believe in you. So that means thrive from it. Take it in, you know, harness it and come out with a positive result. Don't let it crack you.
You know, Tim, I think what I especially enjoyed reading in the book is you talked about when you landed Michael Jordan as your first big client. I mean, you were so persistent. You had contacted the Bulls numerous times in the 80s, just hoping for a shot to work at any player. I have to ask you, why did Michael Jordan, why did he take a chance on you? Because he was a little bit skeptical of working with a trainer because he'd done that before and he had injured his back. Why did he have that belief in you?
I can see you're a historian of this because very few people know that story. But you know what it is? I've always found, through my process of all the years of working with the greats, they are the greats because they allow themselves to be coached. They allow themselves to be taught. They understand the process, but they're also smart enough to understand what works for them and what doesn't work for them. I mean, you talk to any coach or any business person, and they say their best workers are the individuals that we can talk to that will take what we offer them and learn from it and educate themselves. So it's easier to work with a greater individual because they're always looking for that next level. So attacking and going after Michael and saying, hey, I can help you. I believe in my abilities as much as you believe in your abilities. You take care of the basketball side. I'll take care of the body side. I got a chance to make the presentation to the team doctor, John Heffron, at the time, and the athletic trainer, Mark File, at the time. They got me in front of Michael, and then what I said, 30 days turned into 15 years.
If I ask you what separates Michael Jordan from other players, how would you answer that?
You know what? He never backs down from a challenge. I mean, you take some of the stuff that's going on in today's game. There's players that are taking games off because they want the rest. Michael said, I have an obligation not only to myself, I have an obligation to the organization, I have an obligation to my teammates, and I have an obligation to my fans. So, I'm putting on a show for all these individuals. These individuals are paying to come see me. I work for these people. I can't let them down. I always need to be on the top of my game. So it was a relentless pursuit of that level of excellence, not only for himself, but having the ability to showcase it to all these different individuals and never backing down from a challenge. Going into the three-point contest at All-Star, going into the dunk contest twice, retiring, coming back, going back to playing baseball. It's always the ability, hey, this is who I am, and this is what I'm going to provide.
And Tim, he also had the ability to block out things. I mean, he was so good, he was like ice. I mean, I never could fully understand how he was able to recover from the death of his father. And, his career shooting percentage is, what, 50%? Am I right?
50% for his career. I mean, that is incredible when you think about, every time he scored, there was at least three guys on him. But that's the ability of your skill is so finely tuned. And as we talk about in Relentless, when your skill is so finely tuned, you have the ability to play in the zone. And Michael played in the zone more often than any person I've ever seen. And in the zone, it's just you with no thought. It's just about pure action.
Tim Grover with us just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And we love hearing from all of you at info@eradiosports.com. And Tim, we always like to have a little bit of fun. I'm a big Charles Barkley fan. Come on, tell me a Charles Barkley story.
Well, you know what? In the book, I talk about Charles being the most explosive athlete that I've ever worked with.
Tell us about that dunk. Come on.
You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, this guy, he was coming off a knee surgery. It was He was in an immobilizer. And, you need to keep Charles off the basketball court while you're helping him with his rehab. No problem. Not the easiest thing to do with these guys. You know, if that's a sport you love, they like to be in that area. So we went and worked out, did some rehab. He said, let's go to the gym. We went to the gym. He was just, hey, grab me a ball. I said, Charles, you can't be on the court. He goes, just grab me a ball. I said, all right. I grabbed him a basketball. I think he's just going to go shoot a couple of free throws or something. And he literally, off of one leg, the other leg was in his immobilizer, jumps up 10 consecutive times off of one foot and dunks the ball two-handed. I mean, I just stood there, and it takes a lot to silence me. And I was like, I mean, that was impressive. You know, it stands under 6'5", and, you know, everyone knows about his weight. He's not a little guy. To have that kind of explosiveness off of one leg is just, you know, it's unreal.
Getting ready to wrap it up this weekend with Tim Grover. The title of his brand new book, of course, is Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. As he said, you can go to Amazon.com and get a copy of this. My final question for you is, I want to talk to you about, you know, it's one thing to be relentless, but I'm a mom, you know, I'm trying to juggle work, life schedule, all that kind of thing with family. What about balance? I mean, it's one thing to be a cleaner, but you can't have such a singular focus. You also forget about your family and all these other things that are important to you, because then you got imbalance in your life and you got a lot of people that are cross with you too, right?
The hardest thing about a cleaner is to find that balance, but the one thing balance is found, the balance is found at home, and we talk about it in the book, where your family, your kids, they're the ones that bring you back, that allow your mind to relax and think about what's good and what you have and the opportunity to enjoy it. So it's always good to, you know, to not stay at work, to get out of the office, to go home, because it's the one place when you see those shining faces and you see your significant other that allows you to finally relax, not only physically but mentally. And that's the key to being able to try to balance it as much as you can.
That's some great stuff, some great advice. Listen, Tim, let us know if you come down to Dallas-Fort Worth. I'd love to sit down with you again, meet you in person, and have another interview. Thank you, Tim.
Take care. Thank you very much for your time.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment.
Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompletePproductionServices.com.
Elissa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Ow. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big.
Welcome back to another edition of the Big E Sports Show right here at eradiosports.com and our numerous affiliates across the country. We are so thrilled that you've made it a point to be with us for the next 60 minutes, as you don't want to miss. We have got a very special show. We're going to open up with a full court press on the NBA. We're going to hit on the college scene as well. We're going to recap the amazing run of Rick Pitino and his Louisville Cardinals. But first, I must share that this is truly the time of year that engages all of my senses. That means the NBA playoff push is underway. So we have extended an invitation to one of the best guys in the business. He's got an incredible resume, TNT NBA play-by-play announcer Kevin Harlan. Kevin, thank you so much for the time. It was such a pleasure meeting you in Los Angeles last week at the Lakers game. We appreciate the time.
I enjoyed that too. Thank you so much. Thanks for asking me to be on. I know you're such a great sports fan, you cover it all, but basketball is true to your heart, so it was fun to meet you in Los Angeles, and great to be on with you here today.
That's true. We are the fastest hour in radio. We cover it all, but my favorite sport is basketball, so let's get to it, because really right now, Kevin, there's a different vibe in the NBA. As teams make their final push with the playoffs rapidly approaching, there is that sense of urgency. We have experienced it. We've seen it in the Western Conference with teams jockeying for position and attempting to solidify that final slot. If there's one thing certain, you better have a lot of liquid paper whiteout on hand, because we're witnessing a lot of last-minute changes. Of course, the surging Denver Nuggets beat San Antonio by 10 on Wednesday night, and once again, the Thunder and the Spurs are tied for first place.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how this thing is going to come down really to the final days. I don't know exactly the importance that the teams that know they're in are putting on swatting, if they're going to be the one seed, the two, or whatever. But I've got to believe, even though they won't say it publicly, that in the back of their minds, you know, that they feel there is some strategy there, because this is all about mashups. So, for instance, let's say it's San Antonio that finishes number one in the West. And let's say it's Los Angeles that holds on to that number eight spot as they're jockeying back and forth with Utah. And that's a matchup that I don't think is very good for San Antonio.
Yeah.
And for the Lakers, who are getting some steam here at the end of the year, you just don't know what that's going to mean. So although the teams don't talk as heavily about slotting as opposed to just getting in and playing well and being healthy, which are all important things. I got to believe at the end of the day, it's a matchup, it's the slotting, and it's who you're going to play in that first round, which will set the tone for your entire playoff run.
You know, Kevin, you hit on a couple of the teams in the Western Conference. What are you seeing in terms of the surging New York Knicks and coming out of the Eastern Conference?
Well, they're playing at a very high level right now. Carmelo Anthony is right in rhythm, and that's, you know, he's that kind of player. And for what other faults he may have, whether it's the inability to play with certain kinds of players, I'm thinking of Amari Stoudemire, for whatever reason, maybe it's because they basically play in the same kind of position and need the ball to be effective. You know, a guy like Carmelo has, you know, not only taken over the lead in scoring at various times here late in the season, but he has driven his team, I think, to all individually play better. You know, he's the kind of guy that can inspire others, that will lift all ships, as they say. He did it in Denver. He's doing it in New York. And I like to think that they're going to stay healthy and make a nice little run. I don't know who's going to really challenge Miami, but certainly New York, the way they have played of late, will give the Heat a nice little bump, as will the Indiana Pacers. So the East appears to be, I think, even more competitive than we thought maybe 2-3 weeks ago, with the nice streak that the New York Knicks have put together, both scoring from Carmelo and the wins they have strung together to finish out the regular season.
You are listening to the familiar voice of Kevin Harlan, TNT NBA play-by-play announcer. We're talking about the upcoming, the 2013 NBA playoffs. And Kevin, now don't be cross with me, but I have to share with our listeners, you've been covering the NBA for over 30 years. And what do you enjoy the most about this time of year and the playoff experience?
Well, I think like all of us, and I know you're a big fan too, but I think you find that the competition increases, obviously, with the coming of the postseason. But you find that the intensity, which is, you know, as the screws are tightened, becomes, you know, just the kind of stuff you want to see that puts you on the edge of your seat. And not that the regular season doesn't have its captivating moments, it does. But the thing about the postseason is there is so much at stake, and there is so much finality to it, that if you don't perform well, you're so quickly gone and your season ends so abruptly that feeling is something that a true competitor doesn't want to go through. So you're giving literally every land, the last ounce you've got to the game and to that series and to your team. And that's, I guess, what makes it so great. And then on top of that, you've got truly the best players in the world. And when you see that kind of athleticism and skill, with the consequences of what could or could not happen in a series, I think it's just a thrill a minute. It's like a roller coaster, and as you all know, you're bracing yourself when you're on a roller coaster, and I think you brace yourself when you're in the playoffs, and certainly as a fan watching the playoffs.
Of course, our hub, Kevin, is right here in Dallas-Fort Worth and our Dallas Mavericks, but it is evident when you look across the league, it really seems like when you look at the growth that has taken place throughout the years, that we are experiencing greater parity. What do you point to in that? Are we seeing the residuals of the new collective bargaining agreement?
I think all of it, and I think, yeah, you're hitting a very good point, and I think that's a very good one. I think you probably lead with that. The tax that these teams, as you know, that have gone over the cap, what they've got to pay is significant. And when you're counting every penny, and I know every organization is, we may talk about the mega TV deal that the Los Angeles Lakers have, what they charge for courtside seats, but at the end of the day, they're paying bills just like the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. So everybody is very sensitive to money. The tax is significant, and it was made that way so that we could have, you know, some of the players maybe dispersed more and take away that money incentive by teams to win by money alone and perhaps spread the wealth. And I think as time goes on, it will. And that's going to be good for the game. It's great to see smaller market teams thrive. It's great to see Oklahoma City. It's great to see Memphis. It's I think, for the health of the league, something that the NFL certainly has learned and practiced for many, many years, for the health of the league, everybody's got to have a chance. And I think as time goes around, you're going to find that the talent is dispersed, coaching will be at a premium, health will be more important, bench and depth will become a huge issue, and then the skillful management of the camp. I mean, it's all going to come together. There are so many prongs to this thing. It's not just one, but it's many. But at the end of the day, the parity is good for the league, and I like seeing it. You always want the villain, and we're always going to have a villain. maybe it's Miami, maybe it's Los Angeles, whoever you want to pick. But yet people want to know that they root for the team deep into the regular season and that their team has a chance. And I think that's what makes this so enjoyable.
Well, Kevin, it really is an exciting time within the NBA because I truly believe that the gap between the good and the bad teams is not getting wider. We are experiencing that growth, that parity, and winning a championship is now within reach. Case in point, look at the Clippers. I mean, for years they'd struggled mightily, and they've made real strides, and perhaps they have an opportunity to win it all. You can't count them out.
And it's been skillful drafting. It's been picking up the big-name free agent. It's maybe taken players that are no longer wanted with a big name and maybe even a kind of a heavier contract. But you bring them in, you try to maneuver your camp around a little bit, and voila, there you go. You've got a team like the Clippers who are able to bring in veterans like Grant Hill and Chauncey Billups and, you know, have a terrific six-man like Jamal Crawford who could start in most teams in the league, but they use him in a certain role. You know, everybody kind of has a hand in it. The leadership of a guy like Chris Paul, and of course your centerpiece, I guess, in many regards, the kid they drafted out of Oklahoma, and Blake Griffin. You get a surprise in DeAndre Jordan. I mean, it just takes a lot of things kind of clicking. And I've mentioned health a couple times, and I know you're on that topic too. And coaches talk about it even more as the season winds down. If you're not healthy and go into the postseason, then I think you're going in with like an arm tied behind your back. You don't have enough bullets inside, every chamber. And that's not the way teams want to go into the most important part of the season.
We're having a compelling conversation with Kevin Harlan from TNT, NBA play-by-play announcer. And I have to share, I'm a longtime NBA enthusiast. I loved the 80s and the 90s. It was an exciting time with Bird and Magic. And I was actually a big Tom Chambers fan. We remember Tom, right, Kev?
Yes, I like Tom Chambers a lot. He's terrific.
Yeah, but listen, but right now it's so exciting with this new crop and influx of all these young bright stars under the age of 25. We were just talking about Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, such a dynamic point guard. I mean, that guy's plays like he's been popped in the mouth. I mean, his level of aggression and intensity that he brings. But this is an exciting time, and of course, you just mentioned my Sooner, Blake Griffin.
Well, I love Griffin, and I love the other kids you mentioned, and you know what I think is really apparent with these new superstars, this new wave? I think they are very readily able to carry the torch when it's passed to them. When Kobe and some of these older players, the Grant Hills, who I talked about moments ago, and well past his prime, but he has been an all-star and has been one of the significant players, certainly in the league recently. When these guys are done, and it will be sad to see them go, I think we can all rest assured that the new crop is going to be ready to take it, and they will be in full stride when they grab that baton. And the one thing that strikes me about this group is the seriousness with which they are operating. I don't think they are as consumed with a lot of the thrills of being a rich professional athlete, but to me what I see are guys taking care of their body with better nutrition, working out more in the off season, finding pride in the team that they are on, making sure that they always bring their best, and putting literally every moment of their day, in season or out of season, with some way of becoming better, of honing their skill, of being a better teammate. And that's what I see. I don't know that we had that for a long time. We had great players, skillful players come into this league, and I don't know how dedicated they were. This group, to me, seems incredibly dedicated and very, very serious. And I think that bodes well for the years to come in the league.
Very serious, very disciplined. But we've also witnessed that with the Dallas Mavericks. We look at a guy that I think perhaps will be a future Hall of Famer in Vince Carter, an 8-time All-Star, just the longevity that he's had in the league. But how he has taken care of his body, it really is a temple, and his ability to play multiple positions, to take his guy on the block and ISO him and take him to the hole.
And I think that the neat thing, and just kind of jumping off the good points you brought up, is that he's changed his game too. He's modified his game to what his body can give. And before we know, he was this sensational dunker, and he still is on occasion. But he's tried to change his game. He's tried to refine things and perhaps put more chips on one side of his platter than the other. And I think because of that, he's been able to buy extra years and become a very important member, whether he's with Dallas or whoever. Now, he's coming off the bench with the Mavs, and that's another thing. He's been a long-time starter, but I think he's accepted that role at his age and what his body can give. And that means he's going to play even more years in the league, which we're going to be lucky to see. He is a real pro. Vince Carter is a real professional.
I know we are short on time, but since we are on topic with the Dallas Mavericks, I know this season has had so many challenges. They've had a really difficult time sustaining levels of consistency. They've had some gut-wrenching losses, one-point losses. What do you see since you have covered the Mavericks this year?
Well, you know, it didn't help that Dirk missed so many games to begin the season, because that's kind of where you grab your momentum for the year and you kind of get into a set rotation. And that's kind of been the problem, is that you know, Rick Carlisle has had to go with different combinations, look for the thing that works. He's not been necessarily satisfied, I don't think, all season long with what he's had at point guard, in the backup point guard. That has been, I think, an issue throughout the year, and I don't think it is still settled. They were hoping, I know, for Roddy Beauvoir to be that guy, but for whatever reason, Roddy just hasn't stepped up. Maybe he will, and that will come with more maturity, but right now he doesn't seem to be the answer, and they got Collison, and he's been kind of in and out, and they've picked up 37-year-old Mike James, and, you know, he's had some nice flashes at times, but he's a journeyman and came from the D-League. So you're talking about a very important position, which has been pretty unstable throughout the year. Dirk, you know, really hasn't found a lot of his rhythm and whole health until the last, you know, 3-4 weeks. So you start putting these things together when your best player and the guys that are handling the ball aren't in a consistent way and playing their best, it's going to affect other parts of your team. You know, it's been kind of that season. And then the umbrella over all this is the disappointment they didn't get Deron Williams in free agency. And, you know, I think they're going to obviously make a big shot at Dwight Howard this summer from Los Angeles, and they'll try to get other free agents. But this is a team, I think, that clearly is looking to turn a page, keeping some portions of that previous page, keeping obviously Dirk, who's going to be, I know, a very big selling point for Mark Cuban and the Mavericks. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. You know, he'll be 35, 36 next year, and it's going to be tough to sell a big-time free agent on playing with an aging superstar. And that's got to be something that they're going to have to cross. So the money is there. The organization quality is there. But I clearly see them at a crossroads.
We're wrapping it up this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Kevin Harlan, TNT NBA play-by-play announcer. And tell us a little bit about as far as your schedule so that we can follow you on TNT.
Well, I've got a game coming up this week as the season winds down in Boston, the Celtics hosting the Indiana Pacers. And whether that game will have much meaning or not, we're not certain because of where the standings are and where the slots may be cemented. And that game may not have a lot of meaning, or it may have a lot of meaning. We don't know. And sometimes veterans are rested late in the regular year. So we'll be prepared for that. And then a couple of days later, we'll get our seedings and our positions for the playoffs for TNT. And away we go. Our first night and first day will be on Sunday the 21st. ESPN will begin everything on Saturday, April 20th. And then we go into what is, I think, a very enjoyable multiple-month ride of great NBA basketball. We just finished with the NCAA tournament, which was a ball to do, and now we got the NBA playoffs. So for a hoop chunky, it's a wonderful time of year.
Well, Kevin, I want to say this was a true pleasure. And I have to confess that I'm a proud Sooner, and when a Sooner and a Jayhawk hook up and start talking hoops, it can be a little bit dangerous because I claim a very long memory. I will never forget KU winning that national championship over Stacey King and Mookie Blaylock in '88.
You know, I was just watching the highlights of that.
Were you really? Okay.
50-50 at halftime, and then Danny Manning and the miracle took over. So I don't forget. I remember every triple. If you'd like to go over some of that stuff, I'm happy to recount some of the big moments of that game.
Oh, well, we will just, I know you're short on time, but listen, we will invite you back. And well, I tell you, it was a lot of fun. I remember when that went on because I went on my recruit trip at Oklahoma and I said, I'm going to ink in Norman. I'm going to be there and make my future there to play ball there. So listen, Kev, thank you so much for coming on, and we enjoy your work, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again real soon, okay?
Thank you very much. Congratulations on your wonderful career. I love your voice and love your show, and call me anytime.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.